The Lakers stink!
Yeah, NBA Straya. How are you going? How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Friday, TGIF, am I right? Oh yeah, Friday, June 4. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money. Here in lockdown, Larry Armour Studios. Oh, we've got 3 new cases today. We better lock down everyone. Keeping you completely up to date. And giving you the lowdown, all the ins and outs of the NBA playoffs while repping Australia a bit. That's all we do. We don't take things too seriously around here, do we?
No, we don't, Jimmy.
I'll leave that for the nerds. But, oh geez, day 13 of the NBA playoffs gave us 2 massive game sixes to talk about. We had Michael Porter Jr. and the Joker eliminating the Portland Trailblazers, and Devin Booker gave us an all-timer to give LeBron his first ever playoff round 1 loss. You'd love to see it. We got all that covered in the NBA Australia game wraps, along with That's Not a Knife, All Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. There's Yeah Nas, there's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame-grilled take, as well as the stream play, which we'll be looking forward to the weekend for all the Aussies. And it's Friday, so we're banging a Luke Longley Award for a bloke who just does their bloody job, Role Player of the Week, and a big old weekend preview, because we've got the second round starting. Woo! Let's go. All right. Big show. We'll finish up with Cooking with Bainesy. Why not? Let's get to it. Episode 626 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. Shaq had some nice words for the Lakers. Wasn't that fun? Love a bit of inside the NBA when the Lakers are letting down players and AD's hurt, and LeBron's not living up to expectation, because it means that Shaq can just go hog wild. That was pretty great. Enjoyed that. But either way, you should watch out for the Michael Porter Jr. attack if you're the Blazers. And then you should watch out for the Joker attack. And then, if you're the Lakers, you better watch out for the Devin Booker attack, getting absolutely straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
By a dude who complains about double teams in the summer. Amazing stuff. Right, let's get right into it with the way we start every show here at NBA Show with the daily whip around. There you go. That's right, AD was apparently good to go today. Cleared by the doctors, don't know how, don't know why. He lasted 5 minutes. It was like, nah, hurts too much, man. Lakers put Marc Gasol in the starting lineup as well. Relegated Andre Drummond, the Penguin, to the bench. What a surprise twist that was. Ah, it took us a bunch of time to realize that he's shit. I could have told you that months ago, Lakers. Mike Conley. He's day-to-day ahead of the West Semis with his bung hammy. Reckons he's going to be all right, though. Ja Morant's dad was pretty stoked with the way the Jazz treated him and the fam after their pretty shitty experience last time. They looked after him, and he's like, hey, man, they're all class, that organization. Good on them. I hope they win the title. That's nice. Other news, Scotty Brooks. That's right, erstwhile Wizards coach. No decision made yet on whether or not he'll be back next year. He's going to be evaluated by the owner. Have a chat. Will the GM there? That'll be nice. Fun times. Okay, good. Scott Brooks. Look, if Russell Westbrook wants him back, I'm pretty sure he'll be back. You know? That's how it's going to go. That's how it always goes. In other sort of front office sort of news, the Grizz signed their sort of GM, Executive Vice President of Basketball Ops, Zach Kleiman, to a long-term extension as well. Pretty gnarly. Good to see that. But then the really fun one was just before he got eliminated by the Nuggets. And the MVP, Dame, got a nice little consolation award, didn't he? Yeah, he wins the Teammate of the Year award. The NBA players selected Dame as the 2021 Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year award based on selfless play, on and off court leadership, and commitment to team. I kind of love it because Look, we all know that NBA players love the shit out of dudes like Kyrie for their absolutely insane skills, etc. And then all the NBA players look at someone like Dame and go, man, that's a guy who's just committed to his team. His teammates love him. That team loves him. Everybody loves him. He's a pretty good dude. We love that Dame. That's kind of gnarly. And there's a couple of other little ones floating around. It's like, oh, the Celtics might be looking to trade Kemba Walker. Where does this one come from? Oh, that's right. Great durs of history. Oh, duh! You really think the Celtics might want to offload their extremely expensive point guard who can't stay healthy, sucks anyway, and only has one good knee?
Oh, gee, I think they might want to trade him, eh?
Yeah, no shit, dickhead. Anyway, also Chris Paul, he's got his $44 million buck player option next year. He's now just beaten his buddy LeBron James. There's also some thoughts floating around there about him wanting to decline that $44 million player option. Again, it's another case of the, oh, duh! Because if he can get a three-year, $100 million contract, what's more than $44 million, Jimmy? That's $100 million. Oh, shit. I love this time of year when there's like little bits of like,
oh, this is the sources say Chris Paul might decline his like player option.
Yes, if somebody's going to give him $100 million the next 3 years, of course he fucking will. Oh, jeez. Anyway, and then the final little bit of the Celtics coaching search, as mentioned on yesterday's program, with Brad Stevens now going to run the front office of the Celtics. Who do you reckon is going to step in? Obviously, Coach K, Coach Krzyzewski out there of Duke. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's retiring just in time for the Celtics job. It's like, did you pay attention? Coach K is going to coach out this 1 year of the 2021-22 basketball NCAA season. NCAA straight up. And in the meanwhile, the Celtics don't have a coach. Maybe they get someone in for a year and they're like, we're going to set him up to fail. He sucks. Fuck him. And then bring in Coach K, but that would be pretty fucking wild and pretty gnarly, but also, I can't see that happening. Sam Cassell, Chauncey Billups, David Vanderpool, Darvin Ham. These are the sort of names floating around there. Jason Kidd, which would be fucking hilarious. Imagine bringing in him. Love it. He doesn't have anything to do right now. Anyway, let's get to the game wraps for the two game sixes from today.
Game wraps.
They're brought to you by DraftKings. Australia, that's right, DraftKings Australia, the playoffs are here. We're getting to the second round. We've only got one game left in the first round, maybe. Well, there's only one more series going. Either way, our boys from Down Under are still out there battling for it. So, thanks to our friends at DraftKings Australia, you can get in the action as well, take on the competition, and if you think what you've got what it takes, then you can take home millions in prizes and entry as cheap as. All you need to do for daily fantasy is bang on the link on our socials, on our website. Go to the DraftKings Australia site or bang in dkng.co/Australia. Create an account. Draft your team. Get right around it. Jump in some contests. Away you go. Have a crack at daily fantasy with, obviously, the playoffs are awesome fun times for the daily fantasy. It's really, really great because you've got a limited player pool. And if you've got a bit of basketball knowledge, or you reckon you do, boom, it's awesome fun. So sit back, watch your players, try to climb the leaderboard for your shot at massive prizes. To enter, just go to dkng.co/Australia. We'll also have all the links on all of our sites, so go check it out. Daily Fantasy is awesome. What are you waiting for? If you think you've got what it takes to beat me, Jimmy, I'm playing it every day. You better get in on it right now. Enter now, dkng.co/Australia. Right, the two games today. Portland hosted the Denver Nuggets and got bounced out of the NBA playoffs of 2021 from an incredible experience for the Nuggets, right? MPJ goes absolutely ham. He goes bonkers in the first quarter, and then Joker rings him home. It was awesome. 126-115 it ends up. Portland just completely shit the bed. We're just going to be brutally honest. They shit the bed worse than the squid did a couple of weeks ago when I needed to change his mattress over. I had to like use the spot cleaner on it because it was that bad. Jesus. Exploded right out of the nappy into the mattress. It was just fucked, mate. But anyway, Portland, before that, though, looked pretty good. They're up 14 in the third quarter. So you don't get up 14 in the third quarter by playing a bad game. But MPJ ends up the first quarter having hit 6 of 7 from downtown. He had 22 points in the first 12 minutes of the game. That's the most in the first quarter of a playoff game over the last 25 years. And his 6 threes are the tied for the most in any quarter of the playoff history. Tied a little bit later by Devin Booker as well. But to balance it out, like, Dame was looking really good in the first half. Norm was all right as well. He had 13. CJ had 11. That's why the Blazers had the lead at the half. Joker was in foul trouble. And more importantly, to that point, Nurk had 0 fouls. Of course, this entire game, basically, if you break it down, turns. When Nurk gets his third foul in the third quarter, and you're like, Jesus, Jimmy, you got 3 fouls in a quarter? Oh, I got a surprise here. You got another one. It's up before. They should have challenged the third one. It was a 3-point shot, I think, on Joker. Nurk didn't touch him. And Terry Stotts doesn't challenge it. Denver get a little bit going, right? And this is then turns into the classic sort of Blazers fuck up. They get up big. They start playing like shit. They have bad, dumb fouls on Nurk everywhere. The offense falls apart in a hail of bad ISO shots early in the shot clock. Just really bad, like, half, like, offensive sets where they're like, oh, I'm going to do something. Oh, I'm just going to shoot it now. It's like, what are you doing? Run your offense. Nah. There was an 11-2 run by Denver to get it all the way back to 4 points before the end of the third. And Dame also got, like, a 2-3, like, basically, he should have had an N1, right? Right towards the end of the third. And didn't get it, so there's no call of continuation, which is some bullshit because Kawhi yesterday got called for a continuation that was far, far fucking beyond the pale than this one, whereas Dame was actually basically into his shooting motion when he did get fouled. He's up in the air already, whereas fucking Kawhi took like another 2 steps and then laid it in. But that only turns into a 2-point foul as opposed to an and-one. Then Monty Morris pulls off a Luka-esque falling over the 3-point line buzzer beater at the end of the third quarter. Makes it a 3-point game. It was a 14-point game at the 4-minute 53 mark of that third quarter. The Nuggets then took the lead at the start of the fourth. It was unbelievable. It was a 20-6 run, but then it basically turns into a 40-15 run into the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. And look, it had been back and forth in the third quarter, and then similar vibes for most of the fourth quarter until that last 4 minutes where Denver just had an answer for everything Portland did. And that 40-15 run, Dame couldn't get anything to go. He misses one more shot, and that was it. The Blazers' season was just buried. They just couldn't catch up. No one could hit a shot. Norm couldn't hit anything. CJ couldn't get anything going. Nurk was just toast. And then, right down the stretch, they couldn't get a rebound, they couldn't get a stop, and Portland blew a 14-point lead at home in an elimination game against a team that didn't have 3 of its top 5 guards. It's the same old story when it comes to Portland. This is just who they are. It's how they go. When you've got Dame and CJ as your backcourt, you're not getting stops. You add Norm Powell to that, it's not helping. You've got Robert Covington and you've got Melo. You don't have a backup center. Can't play Cantor. Nurk was an absolute fucking train wreck all goddamn playoffs. And there you go. This is how you can shoot 50% in a game and lose. 17 turnovers absolutely killed him. Dame had 28 points. He was absolutely horrible in the second half. He went 1 of 9 in the second half. He was gassed. He played some pretty great D on Michael Porter Jr. though, because Michael Porter Jr. didn't score in the second half. Didn't hit a shot in the second half. It was crazy. But Dame couldn't either. He shot 8 of 20 from the floor, but I'll tell you what he also hit. Oh, watch out. Here we go. He went from downtown 3 of 11. Dream of juice. Ah, Dame. You love it, right? Anyway, so Dame can't get it going. Just gassed after playing his ass off in Game 5 where none of his other mates rocked up. And then, of course, in the second half of Game 6, he couldn't get it going. None of his other mates on the Blazers rocked up anyway. So they shit the bed. CJ didn't have it at all. He went 9 of 21 for 21 points, 2 of 8 from downtown. Didn't have it when it was needed most. Classic CJ. Norm Powell, similar vibes. Look, there are dudes who can hit shots. And there's dudes who can hit shots when it matters, when they're a little bit more important on a team. Norm got to sit back, ride with the Raptors, hit shots when basically just asked to. He gets a little bit more responsibility on this Blazers team. Can't do it. 17 points, shot 6 of 13, 3 of 6 from downtown. Jimmy, that's not bad, man. He had 4 points the entire second half, missed both threes he took, and was just fucking playing scared. Nurk was horrible. He had 13 and 7. He had 5 turnovers, and the 5 fouls all came in the second half, obviously. Nurk, he's got the balls in the NBA. Hello, he's got to be better if you want to win this one. Mello, Mello, is it me you're looking for? We might be looking for Mello next year because he might not be in the NBA again. 14 points, but also had an extremely rough run in the second half where, look, he had an and-one, which was awesome. He also had some really dumb fouls and some really, really bad possessions that took Portland completely out of their offense, derailed their offense completely, where it's like, ah, I'm kind of feeling it. It's like, Mello, you haven't hit a shot for 10 minutes? He's like, nah, guys, I'm going to shoot this one. It's like, fucking hell. Clank. Anthony Penny Simons was fun, though. He hit all three of his threes. He had 9 points in 20 minutes, but there was nothing else, right? They played their 7 dudes. They got 9 minutes from Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, but he barely counts. And that's an indictment of how bad this roster is. No D, no hustle. Oh, but we had no other options. You paid 2 first-rounders for Robert Covington. And again, there was a dude. Look, he wasn't bad. He knocked in a couple of threes, and you're like, oh, watch out. He went 3 of 3, but that's exactly what Anthony fucking Penny Simons did. 3 of 3 from the floor. He took 3 shots, Covington. Probably because he was afraid he was going to blow another fucking dunk. 11 points, 10 rebounds for him. And that's it. No Harry Giles out there. No Derek Jones Jr. I don't know why you bring Derek Jones Jr. into this squad and then not play him unless he's hurt. It's absolutely ridiculous. The Blazers are a train wreck. Yoka was incredible. 36, 8, and 6. He might pop up again in a second. Micah Porter Jr., as mentioned, he had 22 in the first quarter. He has 26 to finish off. 0 of 5 in the second half, which is pretty crazy. 10 of 19 overall, though. 6 of 12 from downtown. He was unbelievable. The way he was hitting shots was just absolutely remarkable in that first quarter. He is an absolute fucking delight to watch when he's on. And it's like, similar to KD, like his shots are just butter because he's got that really high release point. He looks awesome when he's on. It was really, really fun. Air Gordon hits an amazing dagger that says bye-bye to the Blazers season, basically, which is even more egregious when you sort of think about all the times that Portland probably could have traded for Aaron Air Gordon and bottled it. Instead, go with someone like Norm Powell. So what do we need? More guard play. Okay. Unbelievable. But either way, who else? Monty Mo Effin Morris. Jeez, Monty Mo Effin Morris. He was awesome. The NBA's best backup point guard, 22-9. He was incredible today. Jamichael Green. Michael Green was huge. 3 of 5 from the floor, but he had 10 points and 9 rebounds. And the rebounds were the biggest thing. In a game where it seemed like nobody on Portland was going to grab an actual important rebound at any point of the fucking game, Thrill Sapp and Jamichael Green just kept coming up time and time again with the big rebounds. And so did Air Gordon, actually. Fakul Kambazo had 7 points and a rebound. He had a nice little run in that second quarter. He scored all 7. Thrill Sapp is always a bit of a threat. He launched a 3 that you're like, oh, that might have broken the backboard at one point. But he had 2 points, 3 rebounds. You just like his presence out there, though, because he's not going to do anything dumb. But the takeaway from this game was really the Blazers' lack of coherence or effort on defense and on rebounding. It just means that as soon as their shots stop dropping, they're toast. It's exactly how it goes every time. Their shots start going a bit awry. Their defense can never get them back into games. And then they get more panicked on offense. They start taking worse shots. They stop going to the rim. And it all falls apart in a blaze of Blazer glory. It's the same fucking story every time. The Nuggets, meanwhile, they're methodical, but they're also fucking just a hint magical. I love it. They just grind into dust, but they do some wild shit while they're at it, like the Michael Porter Jr. explosion and then the Joker second half, where you're just like, what is happening? Unbelievable. Like Joker just backing stuff down, throwing a pass here, or taking a one-legged step back, or launching a 3, and you're like, this is awesome. But it's also fundamentals, right? Rebounding, they treasure possessions, they move the ball. And like it's weird because they are a team. They're not like Utah where they treasure possessions to the point where you're like, wow, when you see turnovers, like, what is happening? But I feel like they understand the importance of possessions more than the Blazers did, and they trusted their dudes. They stepped up. Monty Morris was massive. Austin Rivers was huge. And for a, like, patched-together team to come out and beat this Blazers squad that's basically at full strength. Like, oh, we don't have like our man is Zachy Collins, man. It's like, do you think Zach Collins would have made any fuck? He is the most overrated bullshit player going. He makes zero fucking difference in this goddamn series. And here we go. So Nuggets win it in six. They're through to the second round. The only team from last year's bubble conference finals to make it into the second round, because the Phoenix Suns beat your reigning champion LA Lakers 113-100 in LA. Huge. Suns got off to amazing. It was so weird how exact same the start from the Suns and the start from the Nuggets were, right? The Suns got off to a crazy hot start. Devin Booker just went absolutely ham. They rang up 36 points on the Lakers, who scored 14 in the first quarter. And it was just jaw-drop time. Devin Booker became the first player in NBA history to hit six threes in the first quarter of a playoff elimination game since Michael Porter Jr. did it like an hour and a half earlier. It was awesome. He was smoking. Anthony Davis goes out with pain in his groin. Oh, I can't lug my giant fucking hog around, man. And that was it. It was it. Seriously, they couldn't miss from three. And the game was basically just almost on toast through that second quarter. They just kept their nose. They were just up 29 at points. They kept hitting threes. It was unfucking believable. Cam Johnson hit a three at one point. I think with, what was it, like, towards the end of the second quarter. And, oh no, it was the start of the second quarter. Cam Johnson hits a three. The Suns had hit 11 of 16 from downtown, which is nuts. I tweeted out the fact that, like, the 7 seconds or less Suns would, like, average 17, like, actual threes taken in a game, which is fucking nuts. So, here we are. And boom, they're out there crushing it. They made, so at that point, they were 11 of 16 from three. The Lakers had hit seven shots. It was 45 to 18. Oh, geez. They got up as much as 29. The Lakers fought back a little bit. They got it down to 21 at the end of the first half, but it was weird. LeBron looked gassed, looked uninterested. And as soon as Anthony Davis went out, he's like, he just wasn't engaged. And you're like, LeBron, you're 36. How many more fucking chances do you think you're going to get? This is the first time he really lost back-to-back games to get eliminated from a actual, playoff series that isn't the finals, and here we are. Booker had 33 in the first half, and it was over. Like, Schroeder hit his first shot, then missed everything else. He was 1-6 at that point. Kuz was 1-4 at the half. Gasol had 0 points. 1-4 for Wes. KCP hit three threes, but nobody else did shit beside LeBron. He had 14 points. He only took 9 shots in the first half, though. You're like, LeBron, I feel like we should take some more, mate. I'm just saying. They made some inroads in the third quarter. Wes hit a couple of shots. Nailed a three. They got it down to 12 with 4 minutes left. And you're like, here we go. This is all happening despite, like, Gasol, AD, Drummond, and Montrezl Harrell having scored a combined 2 points to that point. But the thing is, the Suns were attacking the rim. Their athleticism shone through. And they were just running over the top of the Lakers. And it just stayed around that 12 to 15 point mark with the Lakers going small. It was kind of fun, but Booker just kept dumping points on him. He had 43 points through three quarters. It was 13 points right at the end of the third quarter. It was 11 points to start the fourth after a Morris bucket. And you're like, here you go. The Lakers crowd got a bit excited, but then boom, quick bucket. And then a Cam Johnson three again. It's a 16 point game. And they just stayed down, like, kept it like that the entire way. It got down to 10. CP3 comes up and goes, fellas, just jump on my back. I'll take it home. About 6-7 minutes left, CP3 comes in, goes, right, boys, we're winning this one. That's why they brought him here. Hits a shot. It's a 12-point game. He's a steadying presence. He slowed them down. He kept their heads on a swivel. And bang, Michael Bridges hits a big three. It's a 15-point game, 7 minutes left. CP3 hits an elbow jumper, 17 points. That's all she wrote. LeBron takes a breather, and it's just done. There was like a missed Wes Matthews corner three that would have gotten it down to 10 at one point a little bit later. Missed it. LeBron then misses a layup as well. LeBron gets the ball stolen from him by Cam Johnson. And you're like, this is, like, LeBron just gave up. He gave up. LeBron gave up. He's like standing there yelling at the refs. The rest of his team are playing 4-on-5. And they got smoked. And then Crowder starts a bit of a fracas, which you love to see. He hits a dagger three, which is basically game over. And it's kind of fun. Like, the fact that Jay Crowder and LeBron have their little rivalry, despite Crowder being, you know, a comparative spud to LeBron. Crowder hitting the three that's the absolute dagger was magical. Then he gets tossed. Then he runs the locker room like he's Forrest Gump. Just runs off with the being thrown off. He's like, I'll see you guys later. And that was it. And Devin Booker has like a bit of a dunk and just to seal it all. And people are like, oh, that's bad sportsmanship. I don't know. Don't give up dunks in a fucking elimination game, you cowards. And there you go. That's it. The first time LeBron has lost a conference playoff series since 2010. That's right. He's either been in the finals or anything, you know, not made the playoffs, obviously, a couple of years ago with the Lakers. But it's pretty amazing. He's won 31 of his previous 36 series, and here we are. Anyway, they shot 41%, the Lakers. That's not going to do it. 28% from three. Yeah, not great. LeBron had 29, 9, and 7, but he shot 11 of 26. Wasn't getting calls. Probably sooked a lot too much. He was just sooking. He was bitching. He was moaning. He wasn't getting back on defense. He didn't play a fucking scary good defense in that fourth quarter. And he got cooked. And that's what happens. You get cooked by the younger teams when you're 36. LeBron, 3 of 10 from downtown. AD, his 5 minutes. Look, he looked cooked as well in those 5 minutes. He couldn't move. It's weird that he got okayed by the doctors, but here we go. Dennis Schroeder, I am German Rondo, had 20 points. Deleted the Lakers PG out of his IG description earlier in the day. Then got bullied into putting it back. And then as soon as the game was over, took it out. Classic. Ends up 6 of 14, but just had no impact. KCP was 19 points. Missed a couple of crucial threes late. THT was awesome. 6 of 9. Nice. From the floor, 12 points, but just nothing else anywhere. Gasol, 18 minutes, 0 points. Keefe, 2 points on 1 of 4. Kuz, 1 of 6. Trez, 1 of 4. Caruso, 1 of 3. The LeBronettes did not appear to get the memo that they should actually play well. And boom, the Lakers get bounced. Suns, look, you let the Suns shoot 50% from the floor and 50% from three. You're not going to win that game, Lakers, and you didn't. They went 18 of 35 from downtown. It's a new franchise playoff record. Booker had 47. Guess what? He might pop up again in a second. Crowder was awesome. 18 and 8. Hit 6 and 9. Nice. From 3. CP3 had 8 points, 12 assists, but he took over late. 4 points late where you're like, oh shit, just the absolute steadier jumper buckets. It was beautiful to see. Ayton had 8 and 3. 8 and 3? That's right. It wasn't wildly impactful, but on defense does a lot of stuff where you're like, yep, they can't get to the rim. And that's how they stymied LeBron. They just put 5 bodies in front of him for most of this game. Went, right, your Lakers little LeBronettes can beat us. And it turns out, hashtag spoiler alert, the LeBronettes could not. The Cams were awesome. Like, campaign had 7 points. He shot 1 of 8, but he was just a fucking menace and a pest. He had 3 blocks. It's crazy. Cam Johnson had 10 points and 4 boards, 2 steals, 2 assists. He was awesome. Hit the ground pretty hard at 1.10. You're like, what is going on? Michael Bridges had 10 points, a huge 3 late, basically put it out of the Lakers' reach. They out-rebound them by 7. Boom. Suns win. Send LeBron and the Lakers packing. Amazing series. Topsy-turvy. Swings and roundabouts kind of series. Chris Paul's done. They're cooked. Then AD gets hurt. Oh, geez, here we go. And away they went. 4-2, the Suns. And we have our Western Conference semi set up. So, look, to wrap up a couple of those little playoff series, what did we do? We did Portland and Denver. We had 3 big things about this. Nurk and Joker. Can Nurk slow him down enough to give Portland a chance? That was a resounding fucking massive no. Dame, CJ, and Norm. Can that three-headed backcourt shred the life support Nuggets backcourt? Again, no. And can Covington stymie MPG? Or do we see him continue to fuck you on the anti-vax Durant trip? Again, no. Covington could not stymie MPJ whatsoever. MPJ was the big difference in that series. That three-headed backcourt was bullshit for the Blazers, and Nurk versus Joker was just a fucking laugh. So, Portland, look, back to the drawing board. Blow it up. Lakers, Phoenix, 3 big things for this was, does the Lakers D have enough to dismantle Booker and CP3? Look, CP3 didn't do much after his shoulder went and fucked itself, but they did not do anything to stymie Booker whatsoever. Will Phoenix be able to navigate the Lakers' size and do their usual set it up, grind out, mix with the Cams and the high-flying, fun-ass antics? They did. They really did. They played the Lakers' size completely off the court. Now, this is the big question about the Lakers. Why would you fucking bother with Gasol, Andre Drummond, AD, and Montrez if you're just not going to play them and try to use it? What are you doing? Nobody knows. The Andre Drummond decision might have probably cost playing him as much as they did rather than just going, fuck it, Gasol and Trez, and that's it. Might have cost him the series. And the last one was, are we going to see that Phoenix are frauds? And I said, nah, more are we going to see their lack of wing depth scoring? Fuck them. Because you're rolling Crowder, Michael Bridges and Cam Johnson and the homie against LeBron. Turns out that did not matter whatsoever because Booker just did everything. So some questions answered there, I'll tell you that much. Oh, gee. So with all of the East first round done, we now have one remaining series in the West, Dallas Clippers. It's going to be fun, isn't it? Right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of today then, shall we? Let's do that.
That's not a knife. That's a
knife. Oh, it's too easy today. Joker and Booker. Unbelievable, the Joker and the Booker. That's pretty great. The Joker and the Booker. It sounds like a pretty bad morning show. It's the Joker and the Booker here on Mornington Peninsula Power FM. 36-8-6 for Joker. First Nuggets play with 5 30-point ones. Boom, that was awesome. His second half today, that was fucking majestic. He was limited by fouls early, as I mentioned. He had 27 points in the second half. He went 9 of 16 from the floor in the second half. 1-of-1 from 3. Hit all 8 of his free throws. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Finishes with the 36-8-6. And as I think put on the old facey, it was basically like a souped-up Mark Bradkey. You love to see it. But 36-8-6 in an elimination game. In a second half, he drops 27 on the road against his nemesis, the Bosnian Bear. You love it. He finishes this series averaging 33 points, 10.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, shoots 53, 43, 92, and just completely dismantled Portland and whatever the fuck Portland were ever trying to do on pick and roll defense. It was hilarious. Joker just punished them, and it was awesome to see. What a performance from the MVP.
This is going straight to the pool room.
And Devin Booker, just saying, season high 47 points, a career high 8 made three-pointers in a closeout playoff game on the road against the defending NBA champions, giving LeBron his only first-round series loss ever in his first ever playoff series.
This is going straight to the pool room.
I don't know, though. Are we sure Devin Booker's good? Are we sure maybe he's not just a good stats, bad team guy? Fuck off, idiot. Boom. Devin Booker, you absolute weapon. I love it. Just as well he practiced against all those double teams. 47 points, 15 of 22 from the floor. He was a flamethrower today. He was Johnny Storm, 8 of 10 from downtown, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. He was unreal. Drags his team. The best part was he 100% threw the gauntlet down to LeBron and the Lakers. To do that at his age, to just go, look, fuck you. I don't care that you're LeBron. I don't care that you've won the title. We are going to beat your ass. He's 24 and he's doing this to LeBron. 47 points in a closeout game on the road in his first ever playoff series. He might be a good stats, bad team guy. I don't know. On your Devin Booker, on your Joker, you guys are NBA Australia approved performers of the night. How about Spuds of the night, Jimmy?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. I mentioned the LeBronettes. That's an obvious one. And the second half, Blazers. Look, the LeBronettes, that was just absolutely brutal. Like, LeBron's like, fellas, can you give me something? And they're like, nah, don't think we can, man. 18 minutes for Gasol, 0 points. Keith, 2 points on 1 of 4 shooting. Kuzma, 1 of 6. Trez, 1 of 4. Caruso, 1 of 3. Look, when your supporting cast does that to you, you got no fucking chance, even if you are LeBron James. LeBron plays 41 minutes, sooks his way out of the goddamn playoffs. You love to see that. It's pretty funny. Schroeder getting 20 points. You're like, it was a little bit too little, too fucking late, because he was horrible in the first half. He was 1 of 6. KCP was the only one who stepped up, but then flip side, he was shit in the second half, and away we go. Missed every big shot. Every moment that called for a big shot, KCP lined it up and missed. And you're like, ah. He hit one. You're like, oh, nah. And then he just didn't go again. Tough scenes. Even Wes Matthews. Look, he battled manfully. 4 of 12 shooting, though, for him for 12 points. And it was just absolutely a shit show, wasn't it? For the rest of the Lakers. Brutal stuff there. And in terms of the actual second half Blazers, I mean, it was absolutely shocking how bad they were. What did I say? A 40-15 run in that second half from the Denver Nuggets win this game. And the second half, just alone, the Blazers went 4 of 17 from downtown. They had 7 turnovers. They shot 40%. And they played seemingly zero defense. They let Monty Morris tear them apart. Aaron Gordon knocked in a couple of threes, and they were just toast. So spuds everywhere. Spuds as far as the eye can see. It was all the supporting cast. Look, Dame obviously didn't cover himself in glory in the second half for the Blazers, but everybody was letting themselves down in the second half of these games. Wow. How about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Dennis Schroeder, him, German Rondo, as mentioned, took away the PG for the Los Angeles Lakers from his Instagram bio and then was bullied into putting it back and then literally as soon as the game ended, took it away again. Dennis. This is a bloke who turned down an $84 million contract from the Lakers. Don't think you'll get $84 from the Lakers after this. Just imagine, that is going to be a tough team bus there for the Lakers if they're going to go to their post-game restaurant, end of season, fuck it. God damn it, can you believe we lost in the first round, first time ever? You know that LeBron's just like waiting for everybody to get on the bus, filling up a pillowcase full of soap bars and then just walking onto that bus going, right, who's first? Dennis, it's fucking you. 100%. And also, look, old mate, no mates, I still love the Clippers. The Clippers were getting heckled in their own building yesterday by the Staples Center's ushers. In their own building! The ushers are giving them shit because they lost to Dallas. Because obviously you're a Staples Center usher. You live in LA. What team do you think they support? Probably the fucking Lakers, mate. I love that they're getting roasted in their own building. Of course, they lose to the Lakers there. Panting of the night.
Fatty, fat, fat, fat. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
Fatty, fatty, fat, fat. Look, this is easy because it's both the Blazers and the Lakers. Look, the Blazers got roasted and pantsed by a on their own floor by a dude who looks like a Chapel Street bouncer without any guards who can match the apparent fucking three-headed guard monster of the Blazers. That's right. The Blazers' three-headed backcourt monster of Dame, CJ, and Norm Powell got beaten by Monty Morris, Austin Rivers, and Facu Campazzo. That's a pantsin'. And then, of course, obviously the Lakers, exact same vibe. They got beaten by a dude, the 24-year-old Devin Booker, who looks like he's a 16-year-old little fucking exchange student. It's like, what is he doing? Who let this kid on the court? Why is he dropping 47 points? Ah, because the Lakers stink. And LeBron finally just got pantsed in the first round. You hate to see it. If it sounds like I'm reveling in the Lakers' loss, it's because I am. Let's do better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. We've mentioned this one before, Monty Morris. Because I don't know about you, but I'll take the bloke who was picked 51st in the 2017 draft, rather than, so that's in the second round. The bloke taken second overall in that one was Lonzo. And today, the bloke taken 51st had 22 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, and went 3-6 from downtown, 8-16 from the floor, and led his team to a closeout win on the road, did Monty Morris, which is awesome. BT Dubs, the fact that Joker's going to win the MVP while being like the lowest drafted player literally ever to do so is pretty crazy. People are like, oh man, he's like not even the first second rounder to do it though. It's like, yeah, but the second rounder who did do it was like back when there was like 8 picks in the first round. So let's all just pump our brakes on that. Meanwhile, old mate Nikola Jokic, what was he, the 41st pick back in 2014? Absolutely crazy, the fact that he's going to win the MVP. But Monty Morris, 51st pick of the 2017 draft. I'll tell you what, the way he closed out this series, forever and ever, will be better than Lonzo Ball. And finally, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
All right, everyone just cool your fucking jets on the Devin Booker bad sportsmanship. Oh, he dunked it. That's just, oh, that's bad sportsmanship. Run the clock out. Nah, Nah. Don't give up a fucking dunk, you dorks. Fucking Laker apologist. Dickhead of the week's LeBron. This was such a disappointment. Look, I have a lot of time for LeBron. Love him. Love what he does. Think he's an absolute fucking titan in the world of the NBA, and I don't think we quite appreciate him even as enough as we ought to. But the way he went out today was just like an absolute bitch. Sooking and moaning, not playing any defense. It's like, I get that you're gassed, but you got to fucking get your team over the line, don't you? Yelling at the ref, I didn't get another call. Fucking grow a pair. Run through the tape. Come on, LeBron. I know that you've got like Space Jam 2 coming up this year, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be a bit rough to convince everybody to go see Space Jam 2 after you've just gone out in the first round. But LeBron, look, I love him. I think he's great. But the way he went out was some real, real weak sauce. So, dickhead of the week might be LeBron. Tough. Right, let's do some yenars right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yenars. They're brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, it's locked down again, but we've got NBA playoffs, we've got footy. Don't waste your time trying to get that Rona from the Bottle-O. Standing in line with people breathing near you, fuck that noise. Don't be an idiot. Just go to thedailyliquor.com, check out all their amazing booze, all the beers, all the wines, all the cocktails, all the party mix them up packs are awesome, but the beers are great. I love the Dos Blocos XPA. The Pale Ale, the Sample 3 Quarter IPA, the Sample Lager, and of course my favorite, the Dos XPA. But there's heaps of other stuff. The wines, the cocktails, like old mate's getting stuck into these wines at the moment. We've got nothing to do. It's lockdown, so why not? Either way, you're banging the code STRAYA when you check out and you've spent more than $20, you get a free sixer of the Dos X with that code STRAYA. So it's for the Melbourne metro area. You get same-day delivery if you order before noon. So smash the dailyliquor.com right now. Bang in that code STRAYA and get a free sixer of the Dos X. Love it. Right. Bunch of yeah-nahs. Let's fly through these ones. Jimmy, will the Celtics hire a black coach? Yeah, nah. Whoa. It's a tricky one. I think they will because I think the leading candidates, in my mind, are a bit of the actual... they just happen to be also to be black, but I think that's probably the direction that the Celtics will probably want to go in at the moment. Just saying, because they need to. You know, copped a lot of shit over the last little while, but also Chauncey Billups, I think, is a great one. And Sam Cassell is also another really good one. Nate Sanderson asked, Jimmy, if LeBron can't even beat the Suns, he's not realistically going to defeat the Goon Squad. Joe Ingles should reshoot all of LeBron's parts in Space Jam, A New Legacy. Yeah, nah, love it, Nate. Let's do it. So good. Absolutely love it. Space Jam, A New Legacy, Jingles Edition would be a fucking all-timer. That's a great one, Nate. I love it. Brad McKeegan asks, Jimmy, Booker dunking on the Lakers and then giving the what? That's what I thought. Before getting teched, he's like pantsing the school bully at the front of the assembly, taking a photo, then making merch of it just to show him he means business. Love it. That was part of the pantsing of the evening. The fact that Booker is out there talking shit to Schroeder. He's talking shit to LeBron. Keith Morris is out there getting flagrants. Crowd is laughing, dropping threes on them, getting teched and getting running out. I love it. But amazing stuff. Absolutely love it. And Brad McKeegan's also got another one here. Yeah, now the Morai brothers will be busy tomorrow trying to keep their title hopes alive without being seen together. Well, you know that one of them's going to win one, so they'll just check in and out of that Clippers game. Don't you worry about that. You know, it'll be Mook and then it'll be Keith. Mook, then Keith. One will always be fresh. It'll be like, wow, how did Marcus Morris play all 48 minutes, man? I'll tell you what. That's a great one. On you, Brad. What else we got? That's it. Oh, actually, to go back to that Celtics black coach thing, I also just think they are at a point where they need an ex-player, right? To kick some heads, take some names, and to really sort of get a hold of Tatum and Brown, whereas it very clearly seems like they tuned out Brad Stevens, Marcus Smart doesn't give a fuck anymore. And, like, do you think Jeff Van Gundy's going to do that? No fucking chance. Brett Brown, let's do it! Brett Brown to the Celtics! Woo! Love to see it. Nah, give me some Sam Cassell, Big Bold Dance, or some Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups would be fucking awesome. I love it. This is it for the Blazers team, right? Yeah, nah. Yeah, fuck yeah. It's all over, Red Rover. O'Shea is done. Stotts is done. I love CJ McCollum, but I think he's done. And the rest of this team, I reckon nobody but Dame is untouchable. Everything is on the board now. Nurk, Norm, like in a sign and trade if need be. But CJ, look, there's plenty of ideas about where he could go and what you can get in return. But he's a weird fit, right? Because I think if you let him run the show just a little bit more, he has proven that he can do it. His injury this year really fucking derailed this Blazers team. It sucks, but he's been back for a while now and it never really hit the top echelon like it was earlier. And that really sucked. So, look, I hope that CJ gets back to that all-star, like, you know, level that he was at. But I don't think it's going to be in Portland. I think O'Shea's out. I think they should bring in Danny Ainge as like a sort of head basketball ops sort of person, but without having to do all the day-to-day grind, because it doesn't seem like Danny Ainge wants to do that, but I feel like they can have someone else come in and Danny Ainge basically be an advisor and they'll be able to really clean house, and I think that'll happen. Can we get Dame and Beal on the same team, Jimmy? Yeah, nah! Oh, that would be sick. But I don't think it'll happen, right? Nah, because you're not going to trade Dame, and I don't think you can get Beal for pretty much anything that you've got on that roster there for the for the Blazers, right? Like, it's like, oh, we'll give you CJ McCollum. It's like, okay, so we'll have a worse version of Brad Beal. Oh, but you can have Anthony Simons as well. Thanks. Yeah. But it would be great. I feel like Dame and Beal would be one of those amazing combos. The other really good combos that we want to see Dame with, I think Dame, if the Clippers lose tomorrow, Paul George for CJ would be very, very fun. And a very Clippers kind of move. It's like, why did our defense get worse? But I don't know, man. Dame and Kawhi would be great fun. But I just don't know if you see Dame moving. Anyway, do the Lakers win that series if AD is healthy? Yeah, nah. Well, depends on if CP3 is healthy as well, right? Like, I picked Lakers in 7 before the series. And those two injuries happened. So, look, I'm still going to go with my pick that if AD had been healthy, yeah, they probably win it in 7. If CP3 is healthy as well, it would have been an absolute dogfight, I reckon. And this is the thing, though. I think with the Lakers, we just saw the repercussions of not paying attention in the regular season and going, oh, no, we'll just rest. We'll bring in a bunch of new dudes and we won't all play together, but we'll flip on the switch in the playoffs, eh? And no, you can't. You can't just add a bunch of shit to your team, expect it to work, not get any sense of fucking continuity at all during this season, and then expect to swan through the playoffs. And, like, this is the weird part, right? Like, all the Lakers did this year was, like, brag about how stacked they were, like, getting Andre Drummond. Oh, we got Montrezl Harrell. We stole Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers. Yeah, and you ran into the exact same problem the fucking Clippers had last year when you realize you can't play Montrezl Harrell in the fucking playoffs because that dude is basically a slightly taller Kenneth Faried, you know? And then Marc Gasol. It's, oh, we got Marc Gasol on a minimum. Yeah, there's a reason that he came on a minimum, because he's cooked. And then you get Andre Drummond. It's like, we've got Andre Drummond, man! It's like, yeah, because no one fucking wants him, because he's shit. Oh, we got thrift shop Ben McLemore. Houston didn't want Ben McLemore. We got Wes Matthews. Yeah, because he tore his Achilles like a bunch of years ago and has been a shell of himself ever since. You've bragged about it all year. It's like, oh, we've got loads of good players. We're unbeatable. And then boom. You never played them all together. You never worked out a really good rotation. And for some reason, you never had enough shooting. How do you have a LeBron team in the year of our Lord, 2021, and not just have shooter upon shooter upon shooter upon shooter upon shooter. It's like, oh, we got Dennis Schroeder, man. He can be like a really good playmaker. Have you watched Schroeder at any point of his career? Talk about fucking empty calories. Boom, that's Schroeder. Anyway, Jimmy, are the Suns now the favourites? Yeah, nah, I'm still leaning on the East. Bucks, Nets, or if Embiid can get through the next month on the bung knee, the Sixers are still a smoky there, I think. But yeah, I think the winner of Bucks, Nets is probably just going to win the title now, is my vibe. That's my thoughts. Yeah, there you go. What about unpopular opinion of the day, Jimmy? Was that not it?
Look at me.
Oh, I talked about it yesterday. Dame in Portland. I love it. I love that he stayed. But is he ever going to win anything there? He's not, is he? That hurts my fucking heart. Because I love it. I love that Dame has been Portland all the time. Steph's been Golden State the entire time. It's just that Portland at shooting guard had CJ McCollum and Golden State had Klay Thompson. And then they, instead of having fucking retread Melo, they had Draymond Green. Oh, and also, instead of Robert Covington, they had fucking Kevin Durant. Ugh. But I really reckon you've got to do everything in your power right now to rebuild this roster as quickly as humanly possible around Dame. And give yourself like a shot next year and the year after. I don't know who it is, but it's definitely not Kevin Love. I don't think it's Ben Simmons. I don't think CJ for Ben Simmons works either. Like, Simo next to Dame, look, gives you a lot more versatility on defense, an extra little bit of playmaking, a lot more rim running. I kind of like it a bit, but I don't know. I feel like Philly would be like, no, I think we're okay. It's like, okay, we'll take a slightly better version of Tyrese Maxey. Right, Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, 4-for-1 TGIF oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's Lager. That's right, it's Australian for beer. But really, it's Australian for horse piss, because no bugger back home drinks this horse piss, because it's literally horse piss. Seriously, we just slapped a fucking label on some horse piss and called it Australian for beer, and you idiots lapped it up. So 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is... We will never see LeBron James in an NBA Finals again. Only at Outback. I tend to actually believe this now because AD, LeBron, I kind of feel like the Lakers fucked up a bit this year by valuing their young dudes and trying not to add like Kyle Lowry or just somebody on top of what they already had. Just like go, oh no, it's fine, we've got Schroeder. Okay. You've got THT. Oh, we can't possibly trade him. He is too valuable on such a small contract. LeBron's 36. You're going to do everything you can do to win the fucking finals again right now. It's like, oh, well, we got Gasol. Yeah, and you're not playing him. Oh, we got Andre Drummond. He sucks. Maybe you swing for the fences with like a Kyle Lowry deal or just a little something something. Maybe it makes a little bit of a difference in a series like this. Who knows? And here we are, LeBron's out in the first round. Right, let's take a quick break. Be back right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA All-Star Chris Paul. That's right, he's going through the semis. NASA Commander Scott Kelly, Reddit co-founder Alexis Hanian. What have they all got in common? Well, they're all unknowable. That's right. They've all got incredible experiences and they're all teaching you what they've learned in them on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills and bite-sized audio courses. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love Knowable. It's great. The bloke from NASA teaches about space. I'm reading The Expanse right now. It's super nerdy and it really hits my hits me right in the grits. I love it. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle and how you can play basketball with one arm. Good stuff. Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches how to launch a startup, which is pretty gnarly, and there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So, if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, I think I've had too much coffee, download the Knowable app from your app store, bang in the code STRAYA, and get 20% off. Get smarter today with Knowable. Love it. I love them. They're really great. You just bang them on, you learn a bunch of shit about a bunch of shit, and you feel smarter about it. It's like the opposite of listening to this show. Right. Australian Player Watch. Big weekend for the Aussies. Obviously, we've got Josh Greeny-Green coming up tomorrow. as long as Dallas kicked the absolute flying shit out of the Clippers and he's put in tomorrow against the Clippers, which would be pretty fun. Then we have the Philadelphia 76ers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ers, hosting the Atlanta Hawks on Monday morning in game one of their series, which is going to be absolutely gnarly. So I see Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Matty T out there. But for the meantime, we don't know who Jingles is going to be playing in the next round. So he's hoping Dallas can win through, because that means we keep Josh Greeny green and he can hang out with Jingles. Won't that be nice? So there you go. No Aussies in action today, but plenty to look out for on the weekend with Greeny tomorrow and then Simo and Matty T on Monday. Love it. And also, you know, Sean Marks, he's a Kiwi running the Nets. It's kind of nice. And the Bucks with their big Aussie connection of drafting Thon, having Deli, etc., etc. Right, let's do a great moment. No, we're going to do the Luke Longley Award because it's a Friday, and that's what we do on a Friday. But before we do that, I've already like banged home the Andrew Gaze Grade Mum Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. We've done Shane Hill Shooter Shoot twice this week. But can we, with this Booker game and this Joker game, I probably should have done this earlier in the approved performance of the night, but can we do it? Let's do it. Where's it going?
It's going straight to the pool room.
They've got to go straight to the pool room, right? Like, those two games were absolutely fucking momentous. So, Joker, 36-8-6. Booker, 47 points in his first ever career playoff series in a closeout game on the road against the defending champs and LeBron. Unbelievable. But let's do that Luke Longley Role Player Award, because a couple of good ones this week that really popped off and really helped their dudes. So let's do that, shall we? Let's do it. All right, the Luke Longley Award for Bloke Who Just Does Their Bloody Job Award. Role Player of the Week, Monty Morris. What a week. I already bashed it home in the Better Than Lonzo Ball segment. The 28 points, 4 of 9 from downtown in Game 5, then backs it up today with 22 points, 9 assists, 3 of 6 from 3, 8 of 16 shooting. What a pair of closeout games. The best backup point guard in the NBA. You know who he is now. He stepped up when he needed. And look, I don't know if you play fantasy basketball out there, but Monty Morris has always been one of those sneaky, just grab him, have him there. And every time like Jam and Jamal Murray or one of the other guards goes down for Denver, he just steps up and does his bloody job. I love it. And Austin Rivers, talk about doing your bloody job. In the last 5 games of that series against the Blazers, Austin Rivers, a bloke that nobody wanted to sign for 2.5 months, shot 53.8% from 3 in the last 5 games of that series. Absolutely incredible. He was awesome. I mean, he is the most punchable man in the NBA for a reason. But in game 2, he goes 9 points. Then in game, game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah. So in game 2 has the 9, in game 3 has 21 points. That's the game where he goes absolutely bonkers, wins the game in Portland for them with his 21, goes 5 of 10 from downtown. Then he backs it up with an 8-point explosion in a loss. Basically, if Austin Rivers was okay, they won. He had 18-7 in the double overtime game. Hit some huge threes in that one, 4 of 8 from downtown. And then today was pretty handy. Went 3 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 2 from downtown. Gave him 40 quality minutes with 7 points. 1 rebound, was very, very good. So there's a couple of blokes who just did their bloody job when asked to. Stepping in to the extremely large empty shoes of Will the Thrill Barton and, of course, Jam and Jamal Murray. Monty Morris, Austin Rivers, you just won yourselves some Luke Longley Awards for the blokes who just did their bloody job, Role Players of the Week Awards. Love it. Paddy Mills Game Day Ball at Game Day Twitter check-in. Classic one from Paddy today. Really, really enjoyed this one because Paddy had a really great tweet. Basically saying, Karabaged Gadi Gizged Ose Koika Ata June 3, Happy Mabo Day. Our island home, the place of origin. Thank you, Granddad Koiki. And this picture of Paddy checking out his, the pretty awesome sort of gravesite of his Granddad Koiki, or of, that's who he's calling, you know, Edward Mabo. It's very cool. So amazing stuff from Paddy. Showing his love and respect for Mabo Day. It's pretty awesome. Always inspiring stuff from Paddy. You'd love to see it. Right, let's do a game preview, or a couple of game previews for the weekend, including a couple of series previews for the game ones of round 2 in the East. Let's do it.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. Not a problem, Jimmy. You excited for the weekend? I don't know why. We're still in lockdown. It's going to be no fucking different. I'll just be watching hoops. It's like, cool. Nothing else to do. Today, how did we go on the picks? I think we went 0 of 2 because we picked the Lakers minus 2. Yeah, we picked the two home teams and we 0 of 2. The road teams both win and we look like idiots. So 0 of 2 today. That leaves us at 23 of 40 for the playoffs. Not bad, but, you know, could do a little bit better. Tomorrow, we've got Clippers-Dallas, game 6. The crazy part about this is that the Mavs are underdogs at home, but that isn't that crazy considering that every road team has won every game in this series. But the Mavs are 2.5-point underdogs at home. I'm taking the Mavs. I think this is the game where it turns around. They really actually get a lead, they build it up, and they keep it, as opposed to blowing it quite expertly, which is what they've done in other games. So give me the Mavs plus 2.5. I think Luka, this is his chance to really stamp his authoritaire over the NBA. LeBron's out. It could be Luka time from here on out. Who knows what could happen from here on. So Dallas, give me the plus 2.5 for Dallas. I think they win this on their home court against a Clippers team that will be bottling it. It's playoff P. Kawhi might have a big game, but playoff P might be just out there pandemic-y pooping his pants P, and who knows where he'll be next year. So, look, Clippers-Dallas, I'm going to say Dallas plus 2.5 for game 6. The Mavs win it 4-2. That's my thoughts. See what happens. Then, Sunday, we've got Bucks-Nets. That game tomorrow is at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Time. Nets-Bucks is at 9:30 on Sunday. And the Nets are 3.5-point favorites at home in game 1 of the second round. I'm taking the Bucks. Three big questions here. Is this the unstoppable offense versus the immovable defense? I kind of feel like it is. But the thing is, the Bucks offense is also pretty bloody good. So that's where the Nets are going to be finding some big problems, right? So the big second question is, can the Nets get any stops when at all needed? If they can, they're going to give themselves a chance, because the third big question is, will the Bucks be able to close games as effectively as the Nets can with Mitty, Giroux, and obviously Giannis? This is going to be a massive challenge for Giannis. Like, we've got middling Middleton, old Kate Pippa Middleton. That's right, Chris Kate Pippa Middleton, Drew Holiday, and a two-time MVP. Can you go out there and beat three superstars? Let's find out. It's going to be fascinating, but I think Milwaukee take game 1, and I think this is an awesome series. So I'm taking the Bucks plus 3.5 in game 1. But this is the thing. I think Brooklyn's offense is just so powerful and so weird. You don't know what's going to happen game to game. I think they'll be a bit lackluster in game 1. I think we get a rough Kyrie game, and Bucks win this one, but the Nets might win the 3 after that, and then the Bucks might close out the series and win it in 7. My series prediction for this, going Bucks in 7. I think the Bucks win this. I think it's a great back-and-forth game. Like, the games that the Nets win, they win because their offense just can't be stopped, and they win like each of those 3 games by 12. And the games that the Bucks win, the Nets offense doesn't click, and the Bucks kick the shit out of them. But I think it's back-and-forth, and it's really fun, and it's absolutely hammering tongs. Atlanta-Philly! Game 1 is on Monday. Annoyingly, this is at 3:10 a.m. Can you believe it? Jimmy, I'm going to have to get up and watch this one, which stinks, but gotta do it on the big jobs, don't you? And there's only one game that day, so, you know, what are you going to do? So I'll do that game on, I might even do a Sunday show. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I'm in lockdown. What the fuck else am I going to do? So might wrap up Clippers-Dallas, Bucks-Nets on Sunday night, and then do a Monday show. Or I could just, you know, see how it goes. But either way, the three big questions for Atlanta-Philly: will Embiid be good to go for the Sixers, obviously? And if not, do Philly have enough to keep up with Atlanta's offense? I reckon the answer there is no. Will Trae Young be able to go off like he did against New York Knicks? The New York Knickerbockers of New York City, when facing guards, are actually good? Eh, probably not. But at the same time, they've got a lot of other options there in Atlanta. Does this also come down to defense versus offense? Not really. I think it's more about Philly's offense trying to keep a pace with Atlanta's. And I don't think they'll be able to. So the prediction is, if there's no Embiid, Atlanta in 5. If Embiid's out there, 6, like, even if he's hobbled, I think he'll just give them just enough, and the 6 is somehow equaled out in 7. So if we have an Embiid that's kind of going, 6 is in 7, no Embiid, Atlanta in 5, because I just don't think Philly match up as well as they do against Atlanta as they did against Washington. I think you've got dudes like Capella, dudes like John Collins, You've got DeAndre Hana. Just a lot of, like, a bit of sneaky size on that team, along with the Trae Young, Bogdan Bogdanoviches of the world. And I think Atlanta, it's going to be really fun. It'll be more surprisingly fun than you think, is what I reckon, because the Hawks have gamers. So do the Sixers. I just don't trust that Sixers supporting cast without Embiid there. So there we go. But for game one, I'm going to take Philly to win game one because I think Embiid will try to go. Even if he doesn't, I think Sixers try to, even without Embiid, I think they still get going and they win that one. Give themselves a false sense of hope and away they go. So there you go. Those are the three games on the weekend. There's only three games on the weekend because Denver Phoenix doesn't start till our Tuesday. And but yeah, so hopefully, look, we might have another Dallas Clippers game as well on Monday, but we'll see what happens. What do you reckon? Hopefully Dallas just win that one tomorrow and we're all good. And there you go. That's it. So go to DraftKings Australia, dkng.co/Australia. Join up, play some daily fantasy over the weekend. Enjoy it while you can. It's awesome fun. And we will be back probably maybe Sunday night. We'll see what happens with that one. Maybe just on Monday because it's only three games and Atlanta Philly are so early. So we might just do a really early show on Monday. What do you reckon? Who knows? Who knows, mate? Who knows? Right. Either way, cheers for a fun week. My foot was all fucky. I was on some pretty hardcore pain meds. But we're back. Feeling good. Feeling all right. And make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, on the Facey, on the IGs. We're all over the socials at the moment. SmashNBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. I've got to get some out at the moment. It's a bit hard in lockdown, but either way. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever podcast app you use. If you can rate and review it, it really does help. So come on. Help a brother out. Smash the dailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAY. Get a free sixer. Go to knowable.fyi or just download the Knowable app on your app store. Bang in the code STRAY. Get 20% off there. Check out World Wrestling Australia with our man Adam from FWCI. He's out there crushing it at the moment on YouTube. So it's pretty awesome. He's also pointed out there's a new wrestler called Carmelo Hayes out there. So he Adam now gets to drop a Melo, is it me you're looking for? Out there in World Wrestling Australia, which is fucking gnarly. I can't wait for that. But World Wrestling Australia over on YouTube, that's awesome. Adam's crushing it. Subscribe, check it out. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now. But also, big thanks go to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Spotify, Apple Music. However you listen to your tunes, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. Right, we're going to close out this week with an old Cooking with Bainesy. I think it's the Luxor one. What do you reckon? Sound good? Right, might speak to you on the weekend, you dickheads. Either way, keep a lid on it. Don't go too hardcore. And if you're in lockdown, you know, if you're struggling, drop us a line. I'm always here. Either way, look after yourselves, would you? Lederhosen!
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite Aussie cooking show. It is Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, all right, settle down, yous lot, come on, thank you very much. Yeah, g'day, oh, welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines, eh? So, look, all right, settle down over there. Oh, look at you, on you, Margaret. All right, so in this here episode of Cooking with Bainesy, we're going to fang up one of my absolute favorite Australian dishes, one that's absolutely perfect for a night in or if you're having mates over. It is that absolute Aussie staple, bloody shrimp pad thai. That's right, pad thai is probably top five Aussie dishes all time, mate. I cook them at least twice a week. It's full of all the good stuff you need to keep up a physique like this one. There we go. Lots of protein and noodles and everything. It's bloody perfect. So all you need to do, it's bloody simple, mate. You go down to your soupy, you grab some pad thai noodles, some veggie oil, a thing of garlic, a couple of eggs, a bit of soy sauce, a lime, some brown sugar, a thing of fish sauce, a red chili, a bunch of spring onions, a bunch of coriander or cilantro, as these Yanks call it over here, and like a handful of unsalted peanuts. Right, and then you go over to your fishmonger as well, Vasily is my bloke, and get a big bag of prawns and get him to shell them for you. You don't need the shells, mate. Come on, get rid of them. All right, so get all that and let's get started. All right, so you cook your noodles in a pot of boiling water for about 10 minutes. Then you drain them and chuck them over there. Then you bang 2 teaspoons of the veggie oil in your pan. Now you slice up and cook a clove of the garlic in there. Chuck that in there. There you go, for a couple of minutes. And on the side, whisk up 2 eggs. There you go, whisk them up all nice and smooth. Yeah, there you go. Now bang them in there. Just chuck them in that. Oh, look at that go. And when they're cooked, put them aside as well. And then in a bowl, you mix up your 1.5 teaspoons of soy sauce, your 2 tablespoons of lime juice, your 2 tablespoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of your fish sauce, and about 1/2 of your red chili. All chopped up. Look at that. Nice. Chuck that all in there together and mix that all up in your bowl. Now cook your prawns. Just chuck them on there. You can probably cook them on your barbie if you want, but just put them in a pan. Doesn't matter. Now, while you're doing that, grab a tin while they cook. Don't be a Nancy and just wait until they're done. Oh, look at them cook. Oh, that is a beaut, isn't it? So once they're all done and cooked, pour all that sauce into your skillet with the scrambled egg bit, then chuck your noodles in and toss it around just to coat everything up. Sprinkle your spring onions that's all chopped up and your coriander and your peanuts. Just chuck them on top, toss it around a bit, and bam, you're done. Unbloody believable. Chuck a lime wedge on top of that. A bit of a cilantro or coriander along the top, and Bob is your bloody uncle, mate. Voila. Bam. You're done. An absolute bloody pearler of a pad thai. And look, you can fucking chuck chicken and shit in there as well if you want, but I go with the traditional Aussie recipe of prawns. And all right, how easy was that? That is an absolute beautiful looking batch of pad thai that your missus and the family will love. Now I reckon I'm going to go get stuck into these, eh? And you know what? That's it for this week. Tune in next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.